Nerd Rage Toys has one of the greatest selections of vintage action figures. Check this out. You guys remember G.I. Joe? You remember Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? You remember some of the more obscure stuff, maybe, like Toxic Crusaders, like Crystar, like Food Fighters, like Supernaturals? Nerd Rage Toys is the place to buy this stuff. Not only do they have an awesome selection of vintage toys that are in fantastic shape, but the prices are amazing on this stuff. You can't find this stuff for better prices at an online store. And you know how hard it is to find a lot of this stuff in the wild, right? So why go hunting this stuff down when you can just head on over to NerdRageToys.com, look at their selection, and add some cool vintage toy goodness to your toy shelves? If it's not old stuff that you're looking for, maybe it's new stuff. Well, the good news is that Nerd Rage Toys also has some amazing pre-orders right now for stuff that's not even out yet. Stuff you can secure before it sells out everywhere else. Like the Marvel Legends Guardians of the Galaxy figures. You know those are going to be hot. Jonathan and I are so excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. I know you guys are excited for it. So head on over to NerdRageToys.com and pre-order those figures because they are going to be sweet. I cannot wait to get these myself. And I know you guys want to get those for your collection, right? They got some other stuff too. Star Wars Black Series. The amazing new 30th anniversary Voltron. A lot of cool pre-orders. So guys, head on over there. NerdRageToys.com. You can click on the link in the description of this episode's podcast. That way, you can add some cool new goodies to your collection. And you can help out this show at the same time. That's NerdRageToys.com. Now let's get on with the show.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek-Easy.
Welcome back to another installment of the Geek-Easy podcast.
Hey, hey.
I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
And today is a review episode. We're going to talk about X-Men Days of Future Past. I'm actually really excited to talk about this.
Yeah, me too.
We just saw this one within the last week here. It actually just came out a week ago.
Yeah.
When we got the opportunity to actually go see it just before it came out.
Yeah, it was one of those preview shows.
Very, very cool stuff, actually, because this is one of those movies where we were excited about it. I think we got really excited about it, and we talked about this in our review of The Wolverine, because like they showed that fun little teaser scene at the end that kind of really kicked off my excitement for Days of Future Past. And the X-Men movies have been kind of like hit or miss, it really seems, you know?
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, X-Men 1 and 2 were really enjoyable.
Yeah, they were phenomenal.
X-Men 3 was just awful.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you know, that brought on Wolverine Origins. Oh, my goodness. But one of the other things that we've also brought up in the past, too, that the X-Men movies have kind of created their own universe. So it's like a movie universe of the X-Men. And it's kind of neat because they've really kind of developed their own, like, it's the same characters from the comics, but they're like kind of their own.
Yeah,
some of the characters are
universe,
changed around.
Yeah.
It's an alternate universe for the X-Men. But one of the things that's really cool about Days of Future Past is it seems like they are taking these different versions of the characters that they've already put together in the movies. We got the original cast from the first couple X-Men movies. We got the cast from First Class, which was sort of like a prequel/reboot almost,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, it was really weird how they handled it, and that was one of the things about First Class. I really enjoyed First Class despite going into it. And for the record, real quick, these, like, First Class, you could have said the same thing. Days of Future Past, I can say the same thing. When we talk on this show, because we get negative about some of these movies every once in a while, but we always say, look, we want these things to be good. We really do. We hope they are.
Yeah.
Here's our trepidations, you know? But this is an example of how it can work out for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because First Class, for sure, and this one to a degree, were both movies I was like, oh, they're probably not going to work. First Class for sure, I barely even went to see it. I more or less went to see it out of obligation to a comic book movie. I didn't even want to see it because I knew it would be awful.
Well, and remember, I didn't see it for very long.
You didn't see it for a
long
time.
Like, you had me watch it before we went and seen The Wolverine.
Because it was following up two awful movies. So I was like, and it looked like such a crazy hybrid, you know. And here's my other problem with it is that if they would have came out and said that was a reboot, I would have been excited for it and would have ended up probably liking it just slightly more. As it turns out, they were trying to make it a prequel, and so many things didn't work timeline-wise that I was like, okay, that's dumb, and now I don't want to see it. And then I saw it, I went, okay, it's good enough to where I like it, even despite all that, but I still have a problem with the timeline stuff.
Yeah.
So Days of Future Past was like their chance to wipe the slate clean and kind of fix a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so there was an excitement level for that, but there's still that trepidation where you go, okay, Singer's back. I love Singer. He did really good X-Men and X-Men 2, but there's so much wrong with this timeline. What are they going to do that actually does this stuff? So I'm hoping for the best. I'm just kind of cautious. And it turns out I got the best.
Yeah, I really think so. I really think so. I think it was in our review of The Wolverine where we did talk about First Class for a while. And that was one of my big problems with First Class, too. Like, I liked the movie, but there were a lot of things that just didn't mesh well with the other X-Men universe. One of the biggest things was the fact that the movie took place in the 60s and had some of these characters that should have been much older in the X-Men movies then, but really weren't. So, like, their ages didn't really match up. Mystique being, like, probably one of the biggest.
Like,
I think that was always the hardest for me to really
and
accept.
And some of that stuff, too, there's such a fine line, because some of the stuff can be easily explained and is just nitpicking, and some of it can't at all. And I think the more, just the more problems you come up where you as the audience have to look at it and make your own reasons behind it, the more often you have to do that, the less any of it makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, the Mystique thing can probably be pretty easily explained because I think they've mentioned her aging a little slower or whatever.
Yeah, and that's...
So it kind of works fine, and if that was in and of itself the only thing that was there, you'd never even think about
it. Right.
But when there's 100 other things, and then you realize that one, and you go, well, now that bothers me, too, you know?
So there was a lot of weird things like that in that movie, but at the end of the day, I really liked that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was a lot of
fun.
It was a good movie. And I was really anxious to see how they were going to, like you said, they had the potential to fix a lot of things by doing this time-traveling movie.
Yeah.
And so I was really anxious to see how they were going to mesh those two, essentially two different universes together in one movie.
Yeah.
Because you could even argue that First Class is from a different timeline.
Yeah.
Than
pretty easily.
The early 2000s X-Men movies, you know? Maybe it's an alternate timeline. That happens in comic books
all the time.
So, I mean, you could always make those little arguments. But either way, I enjoyed First Class. I was excited for Days of Future Past. The Wolverine was so much fun.
Yeah, the Wolverine was
and
awesome.
Kind of, like, instilled a little bit more of, I started feeling a little more excited for things, a little more confident, more confidence in the property.
I feel like The Wolverine was the one that definitively broke the terrible movie streak.
Because
First Class was good. It was really solid. But First Class easily could have been kind of a fluke, too.
Yeah.
Because they tried to do so much with the timeline, like, they tried to do so much making it a prequel, but it not exactly being a prequel, to where, like I said, there was so much hesitation going in that where you watch it and you go, okay, that was a solid movie, but it still doesn't exactly make sense. So if the path that they're going on is that we don't care about our movies and they don't have to make sense, then the next several are probably still going to be terrible. This was probably just a fluke.
Yeah.
You know, but then you watch The Wolverine, and The Wolverine was just solid through and through. And you're like, okay.
I really thought so.
Like, not only is this definitively good, it's also technically the second good one in a row. So maybe we're trending upward again.
Yeah, we're picking up steam again, like getting to a good point. So that's going to bring us to Days of Future Past. Let's go ahead and start talking about the breakdown of this movie here.
Yeah, we break it down, and then we'll talk about what we liked.
Let's just go ahead and do a general. We're not going to get super detailed. We're not going to talk 3 hours like on Man of Steel.
No.
I want to talk about like some of the big points in the movie and just bring up things that we liked as we're going through.
Yeah.
I think that would be best.
And that's the thing. Like, my review of this is generally very, very positive.
Yes.
There's still some negativity. Like, it's not even negativity. It's to the point where I like this movie so much that there are things I could say bad about it. But I don't really want to say those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it didn't fix everything. It fixed a lot of stuff.
It did fix a lot of stuff.
Some things are pretty much unfixable. Some things, they're just kind of annoying. Not annoying. ignoring
yeah.
and hoping you forget.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to do that, you know, for,
yeah,
for a good movie. So,
exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's such a solid movie.
So before we go any further, I want to go ahead and send out the warning that this episode will contain several spoilers. So if you haven't seen the film yet, or you just want to avoid any spoilers whatsoever, I would come back to this episode after you've seen the film.
Yeah.
So there's your warning.
Yep.
All right. So the movie takes place in some sort of future. We don't know exactly how far into the future.
No, we never did, because when the first one came out in 2000, it was set in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could have been anywhere from 2002 to 2015, probably.
Yeah.
And this one takes place a while after that.
Yeah.
So we don't really know for sure. But.
So things have gotten very, very bad, as we see. Like, the opening scene kind of has a little, there's a narrative that explains everything that's going on. Essentially, the Sentinels have risen up to hunt down the mutants, but they got a little out of control, and you know, as they were hunting down mutants, they also started hunting down the humans that were helping the mutants. They started just basically just wiping out everybody.
Yeah,
like the Sentinels were just they
went out of control.
They went out of control.
Yeah, they went all Terminator.
Exactly. Yeah, they went all Terminator on us. So the world looks terrible. Everything's destroyed. You know, it's a dystopian future.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is bad.
Total anarchy.
The mutants, the surviving mutants that are still around, are on the run essentially from these incredibly powerful Sentinels, because that's the other thing we learn, is that they evolved.
Yes.
So they're not just the same big metal robots that they used to be. Like, these things have basically acquired the ability to mimic mutant powers in order to help trap and kill these mutants.
Yep.
So, and they can sense where all the mutants are at. So the mutants have to constantly stay on the run just to stay ahead of these guys. And we kind of quickly get introduced to this band of mutants, which includes Iceman, Warpath, Bishop, Blink and Shadowcats. Is that all of them?
Yes.
I think that's the whole group.
We might be forgetting one, but that's
essentially the group. Yeah. They're kind of together, running around as, you know, these renegades, trying to stay away from the Sentinels. And it's a pretty amazing scene right from the get-go, because we get introduced to exactly how these Sentinels work, because we watch this whole scene where the Sentinels locate the mutants, and we watch the mutants do their best to try to fight off the Sentinels, and the Sentinels are, like, you know, using fire powers against Bobby Drake, they're using ice powers against, you know, there was a flaming character
there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
But,
But yeah, that was the other one.
So they're doing, we're just watching, like, it's a really cool fight scene, too, because we get to see these mutants kind of use their powers to do their best to try to outsmart these Sentinels, but ultimately these Sentinels are getting the best out of all of them.
And it's a big, because, I mean, as modern day as filmmaking was in 2000, 2002 and stuff like that, they did some really cool stuff with mutant powers. Like, it's evolved a lot in, you know, 12, 14 years. So, like, the best scene of some mutants just really unleashing some powers that, you know, I don't remember anything in First Class or any of the Wolverine movies coming close to this. Just
Was good. This was like a straight up like war scene with the mutants just going through. Like, this is the kind of thing you see in a cartoon.
Yeah.
And it was in a movie.
It was really well done. Really cool.
And Blink
stole the show.
She was cool.
Anytime there was a fight scene with her, that's some of the most innovative, like,
where she was like hopping through the
stuff
portals
I've ever seen.
Stuff.
Yeah. Well, she'd be, you know, like a Sentinel would try to blast her and she'd open up a portal, and the blast would go through the portal and come out another portal and hit another Sentinel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
really
so
cool.
Cool to watch. And it's all happening so fast, like, your brain's, like, trying to process, like,
right?
Why is that? Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's really cool. And we got to see Iceman fully ice up and use the
slides.
Ice slide.
Yep. Oh, awesome.
So cool, man.
Yep.
That's, like, the stuff that we wanted to see before.
Yep.
And it's like we're finally getting this cool little barrage of it right at the beginning of this movie. So, also, Shadowcat is running around with Bishop. And
Colossus was there too.
Colossus was there too. That's right. He was really cool to see again.
Yeah.
Shadowcat's running around with Bishop, and she does kind of. She gets him in a location where she's doing some sort of using her powers on his
basically, like,
mind.
All the other mutants are trying to fend him off, and they run and hide in a room. And she, you can't really tell what she's doing, because she usually phases through objects, and she can bring other people with her. So it was neat when the whole thing first started. Her and Bishop were running away to this room kind of to the side, and they keep doing things where, like, she's got to grab him and then, like, run through a Sentinel or whatever else, you know?
Yeah.
But they get there, yeah, and she's just got her hands next to his head, and it looks like she's, like, kind of projecting some kind of beams into it, but you can't really tell what the hell's going on.
Right. Yeah.
And then the other mutants are out there trying to fend them off, and it's, you know, you don't really know what's going on, but you can tell that clearly whatever they're doing is very important.
Right, yeah. Because
the rest of them are all, and the rest of them are all dying trying to keep
So that's the thing, like, the Sentinels are winning, and they're just, like, murdering all these mutants right at the beginning, and you're just like, oh my god, because these death scenes are brutal, too.
Yeah, they tore Bobby's ice head off and then stepped on it.
Yeah, and they, like, ripped Colossus into pieces. Yep. Yep. I mean, it was insane just watching them do this. But then when they catch up to Kitty, finally, she just looks up and says, "You're too late," and then they phase away.
Yeah.
And then next thing we know, we're at a scene where they're in a completely different location, and they're all alive still.
Yeah.
And you're like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, that was insane. And I think it was right about that time where the Blackbird shows up.
Yep.
And that's where
Professor X
and Magneto and Storm and Wolverine.
Yeah.
And was there anybody else with them, or was
I
that the group?
That's it.
So they show up, and this is where we essentially kind of learn that they've just been running from these Sentinels this whole time. And
that's all they do now. They just run from Sentinels.
Kitty apparently has the ability to project, like, she's been using it with Bishop, but she's projecting Bishop back into his younger self, his younger body, 5 minutes or so before that attack happens to warn everybody.
Yeah.
So that they're not there when the Sentinels show up.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's what happens. If the Sentinels show up, she time travels Bishop back to, you know, a few minutes or a few days or whatever it is to his old self so he can tell everybody, hey, the Sentinels are coming. We got to not be here.
Yeah.
And then they're just not there when the Sentinels show up. You know?
It's nuts.
And that's how they're staying alive.
Yeah, and that's how they're staying alive. So apparently they just keep doing this over and over again, which, good Lord, that's a terrible way to live.
And,
right?
And this is right, like, And right at the beginning here, this is one of those ways where if we really want to, we could start trying to nitpick this, because I don't know a lot about Shadowcat, but I don't know how phasing through objects evolves into sending people back into
time.
I'm
not sure where this came from.
But
they don't
really explain it, but also they don't try to explain it.
They
so
don't.
It's one of those things that you can just take it for granted and
you
run
just,
with it.
You
cool,
just have to accept
whatever.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember first thinking, like, does Shadowcat even do that? Is that part of her powers? But
and I know she
I
was the one who went back in time in the actual comics,
yes.
so it was cool that they used her for this.
And
but I don't know how she went back in time in the comics.
Well,
so.
I think it was Rachel Gray had something to do with it. Rachel
Not
wasn't
sure.
Scott and Jean's daughter,
okay.
Rachel. I think she had something to do with it. Rachel
okay.
Summers is her name, probably. I don't know for sure, though. That was one of the things. I have Days of Future Past, and I meant to read that before seeing the movie.
Yeah.
I totally never got around to it. So I do need to catch up on that, because I'd like to know the similarities and differences.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I think them using Shadowcat like this was their nod
exactly.
to
Which
Shadowcat.
I thought was cool.
Yeah, being the one that did it in the books.
Yeah.
So,
and as, you know, and this is one of those things where no news is kind of good news.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me what was going on exactly, but you also didn't tell me something stupid.
Right,
so I
right.
could just make up whatever I want, and
it's fine. Yeah,
yeah.
So essentially, like, what has happened now is we find out that Professor X has tracked her, specifically, tracked Kitty, because he and Magneto have figured out, or basically pinpointed the moment in time that triggered this terrible future.
And everything went wrong.
And they want to use Shadowcat's power to send somebody back in time to stop this event, so that way they can basically gain control of all this again and make sure that this terrible future doesn't happen.
Yeah. Professor X wants to go.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Professor X wants to be the one to do it, but they have a discussion basically saying that he wouldn't survive it.
Yeah, that's what Kitty's like. You're the most powerful mind on the planet, but I do 10 minutes. I do...
Yeah.
A couple hours, whatever she does, you know.
Yeah.
I don't do decades.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think your mind would explode trying to get through. And that's when Wolverine steps up and is like, well, what if we had somebody whose mind could heal itself?
Yeah.
Every time it got hurt.
Yeah.
All the way back through those years, you know, or whatever. like maybe a guy with a healing ability that's crazy powerful, like maybe me.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think there's still some hesitation, but they're like, well, I guess it's better than always running and...
Right, and this, and that's, and like, I totally accept that, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
Yep.
We could get nitpicky here and say, well, if his mind can heal, how come he didn't remember all that stuff?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all the Weapon X project and everything was supposedly blanked out of his mind. If his mind could heal, shouldn't it have fixed itself, but I don't know. Maybe that's just being nitpicky in this case.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of those, I think it's separate enough things where I can just ignore it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, I mean, I think their deal is, because with the whole Weapon X thing, that was a lot of, like, intense, like, memory play, mm-hmm. and they were intentionally wiping a slate clean and whatever else.
Yeah.
And this is more like, I think, of the physical, like, your brain's going to explode.
Right, right.
But your brain won't explode.
Exactly.
It'll put itself back together, you know? So I'm fine with that.
Real quick, too, I want to point out how cool I found this whole scene, like, just the way all the characters looked at this point in time. And, like, I loved that Wolverine had the gray streaks on the sides of his hair, which was a throwback to the comic at this time, you know, of the same story. Like, little things like that I get really excited about. Like, I think it's cool that they pay attention to little details like that.
Because they're listening to the comic book
fans. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, we have all these, we get to see these moments. And, like, they jump back and forth between the future time and the past time a few times, a few moments during the movie. And I just love, you know, kind of getting to see some of the scenes with, like, Magneto and Professor X, where Magneto has, like, basically completely changed his tune.
Yeah,
like, he realized.
Sure. Yeah, he's real.
Like, because he has that one line that's great where he just says, you know, if only we had spent all those years fighting on the same side instead of fighting each other.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, when you got somebody like Magneto saying that, you realize how serious all this stuff is.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool. So Wolverine goes through the whole Kitty weird mind power thing that she apparently has in this movie, and she sends him back to the 1970s in his younger body. So he's like in a younger, wherever he was at in the 70s, he wakes up there.
Yeah.
Which happens to be in this hotel room with some
girl.
Some girl, where we get this really fun scene, too. Where like
that
these,
was awesome.
Yeah.
Because these like thugs come in and they're like they're about to attack him. They're like, you know, oh, you slept with the boss's girl or whatever. And he's like, no, that wasn't me. That was me from the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, what? All right, we're going to kill you now, you know, and then he just busts out the old bone claws and everything, and he just goes bananas on these
guys. Yeah, he goes berserker Wolverine, dude. He just starts stabbing all these dudes with these claws, and you're like, yes! Yeah. Do it, Wolverine! Oh, that's another
thing. I almost fell out of my chair when he was like, no, I didn't do that. That was 70s me who did that.
Yeah, like that's a rational explanation.
Yeah, like, oh, okay.
Huh? Oh, you're right. Our bad. That's something else I guess we should bring up. We did notice in the future, because Wolverine popped his claws, they were adamantium again in the future. And in the past, they're bone, because that makes sense. This is before Weapon X program. But at the end of the Wolverine, he lost his adamantium claws because the Silver Samurai chopped him off, and he popped bone claws again. So somewhere between that movie and this movie, he got the metal back.
Yeah.
And they don't even have any sort of explanation or throw off dialogue or anything that explains how that might have happened or why that might have happened. But I noticed it right away because I remember even leaning over to you going, how did he get the metal claws back? Like, whatever, that's fine. Like, I expected him to get them back because that's the way it works. I just don't know how. They don't really even explain it. So not that big of a deal, I guess. Maybe, I guess we just assume at some point.
Yeah, and it's another one of those things, and I'll keep going back to this kind of explanation, even though it's a little bit of a throwaway, but like in a perfect movie series that's doing things pretty well, I barely notice something like this.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that could have happened.
Yeah.
You know, to give him those claws back, anything they want to. It might be coming in a future Wolverine sequel that we just haven't seen
exactly,
yet.
Exactly.
There's a billion things that could have happened, so I wouldn't even think about it. But in a sea of things that stand out as wrong, everything that stands out as wrong counts.
Yeah.
You know? But it was another one I was totally like, I noticed it, I think you pointed it out, and I went, oh, that doesn't really make any sense. And then they never explained it, and so it's like, well, it would have been nice, but fine, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so now Wolverine is essentially tasked with the job of finding young Professor X and young Magneto and convincing them that their future self sent him back in time to unite them to stop this moment, which is crazy.
Yeah, sounds totally plausible.
Yeah, exactly. And the moment that he has to stop apparently involves Mystique.
Yeah.
Because Mystique has apparently gone completely rogue at this point. Like, she's just angry and mad, and she's not even with... Like, Magneto's been captured in the 70s, so he's under lockdown. So Mystique is just totally, like, rogue right now.
Yeah.
And she's just running around essentially saving mutants and killing the humans that get in the way because she's just so mad.
Yep.
And so one of the things that she wants to do is kill Trask, who is this man that is designing the Sentinels.
Yeah, and he's been experimenting on a lot of mutants.
He's experimenting.
Yeah. She kind of finds some files of some of her friends and stuff that have been killed. And they actually make mention, Magneto at one point, a little bit later on in the movie, makes mention about, he mentions Banshee, he mentions Angel, I think, from First Class, and maybe one other that, like, references them as, like, all these people we've lost in this war that have been killed for no reason.
Yeah.
You know? Which was kind of, you know, you don't usually hear that in movies like that, so it was kind of neat that they actually went ahead and said,
acknowledge,
you know,
some of those other characters who are just not here now.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, Mystique, is going to try to kill Trask because he's experimenting on these mutants. He's going to start the Sentinel program, and she just wants to kill him. Apparently, that moment is the critical moment that causes the downfall, because her killing Trask just makes the humans feel like he was right the whole time, and they end up launching the Sentinels.
Yeah, well,
and on top of that, they also capture Mystique and are able to essentially figure out her mimicking abilities that her mutant powers derive from, and that's how the Sentinels become so strong. Like, that's how they are able to start mimicking stuff.
They basically take her DNA down they take her genetics down to the DNA level, and they find out how to mimic that, which I'm not fully sure how they go from Mystique being able to shapeshift to the Sentinels being able to steal powers.
Right. But, which is not something that Mystique
but,
did.
Yeah, but again, there's such a long timeline there. I mean, if they could unlock something.
Maybe they got rogue at some point.
Yeah, and actually, I read that. That was kind of one of those, you know, bonkers theories you kind of read on the internet that I thought was cool, because there was a scene with Rogue in this movie that got cut.
Yeah.
There was a big prison break scene. I'm not exactly sure where it went, but it's in the future. And for whatever reason, Magneto and Professor X and all those guys figure out, well, we got to have Rogue for whatever we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they go and they break into this big prison section, and she's there. And apparently she's, like, full power Rogue, not like she used to be in the old movies.
Yeah.
Like,
strength and stuff.
They say in the scene that you really get an unleash of Rogue's powers like we've never seen, like, full on, like the stuff we used to want in the movie.
They didn't specify
what it meant.
It's going to be on the Blu-ray, though.
Yeah,
it should be. I'm excited.
Yeah, so I want to see that. But I guess the theory that I was reading about that somebody was saying, because they were doing the same thing, and they were doing it in very much the same light we are. Here's all the stuff we could nitpick. We really don't want to, because this movie's awesome, but here's a bunch of things that if you want to talk about them, you know. And one of the things they talked about was Mystique, like how, you know, her shapeshifting ability led the Sentinels to being able to steal powers. And one of the things the guy said is maybe that somehow they unlocked her, you know, shapeshifting stuff, and that got them the ability to capture Rogue, and then they did the same thing to Rogue and broke her down, and that's how the Sentinels do it now.
Very well could be. Also, in the comics, wasn't there a connection between Mystique and Rogue?
I think she's Rogue's mother or something
like
that.
Yeah, I think she's Rogue's mom, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
You get nitpicky there. But so now Wolverine's job, he's basically working against the clock, because he's got to unite Xavier and Magneto to go and stop Mystique before she pulls the trigger and kills Trask. And so, you know, we get all these cool moments where, like, he pulls up to the Xavier school, and, like, he meets young Beast, which has got some funny exchanges too. I love that. But this is where we kind of learn that Beast has developed this serum that essentially it's like a healing serum of some sort that corrects.
Yeah, basically it just takes the mutant powers.
But it takes the mutant
powers
away too, because Charles is using it so that he can walk.
I think it's supposed to heal, like, a physical. He uses it himself to keep the Beast mode at bay.
Right.
You know, and so I think it's supposed to be able to heal physical alterations brought on by your mutant abilities.
Right.
But the side effect is that it suppresses
some of your mutant abilities.
Because it doesn't suppress all of his. He still bounces around like a crazy person.
Yeah, yeah,
but
that's
true. It takes Professor X's mind powers away.
Yeah.
But it also heals his back.
Yeah.
So it's really weird. I don't know. It's medical.
Anyway,
it's weird.
Yeah.
It works.
Science.
Whatever. Yeah. That could have been the exchange. Wolverine shows up and says, I need to see Professor X. And Hank just goes, science, and slams the door. That could have been it.
Yep, so this is the whole scene where basically, like, Professor X is just, oh, man, he's disgruntled at this point. And, like, I remember Xavier warned Wolverine before he went back in time. Like, I was in a bad place at this point. So it's going to be tough to try to convince me.
Yep. The really cool, and it's kind of the cool exchanges there between both Wolverine and Beast and Wolverine and Professor X is some of the really fun stuff in this movie, though. And it's always the fun stuff with time travel movies.
Yeah.
Because he's sitting there, he's chilling with Beast, and he's trying to explain what's going on. And Wolverine's so gruff and matter-of-fact, he's not even trying to, like, really sugarcoat it. He's just like, look, I'm me from the future, and I know you, and you're less of a jerk, you know, in the future, or so, you know, something like that. And it kind of the same way, he's a little more tender with Professor X.
Yeah.
You know, because it's more like all the stuff you did for me then. But it's always really cool to see that. It was funny that they didn't waste any time on him trying to make up a story or whatever. He was just real blunt about it. But it's also really cool when you see those conversation points where he's just like, look, I know you, and I know you 50 years from now, and you're just going to have to run with me here. Here's how you are, you know, here's how it goes or whatever. They do that, and I'll throw it out. This is way, way further in the movie, but it was also in the trailers, I think. There's a point where they're in this big battle scene, and Hank looks over, Beast looks over at Wolverine and is like, in the future, do I make it? And Wolverine's just like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah.
And then I think it was the moment that he finally convinced Professor X was when he said the line that was something along the lines of, at the age of 9, you thought you were crazy, and at the age of 12, you discovered you could read people's minds.
Yeah.
And Xavier was like, I've never told anybody that before. And he's like, you haven't told anybody that yet.
Yeah, yep.
And that was kind of when Xavier realized he was kind of the real deal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Which
maybe.
Was awesome.
Yeah, so that was kind of neat. Also, one of my favorite parts about this scene was when Xavier said, I seem to recall running into you when we were recruiting mutants, so I'm going to tell you the same thing you told me. Which was a great throwback to that scene in First Class.
Yep, which we can't repeat that scene because it's the one time you get into PG-13, you know?
Yep.
But that's another funny thing. I've seen a lot of people nitpicking on that because he slightly misquoted Wolverine.
Which is
it's
dumb.
Like, you know what? I think the whole point...
Yeah. I laughed
fine.
Hard
yeah.
when he did that
exactly.
scene.
Exactly. And I tell you what, people have told me that same thing before and I've misquoted them back.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that was awesome.
That was so awesome. So he convinces Beast and Xavier, and they're in. They're going to do this now. But the problem is that Magneto is on lockdown
under the Pentagon,
and they've got to bust him out. Yep. Which is so Wolverine. I think Wolverine's the guy that says, "I think I know a guy that could get us in, but he's only a kid right now."
Yeah, he's like, "I knew him later, but." He should be around the area now, and he can help us.
Yeah,
you know,
so this is our introduction to Quicksilver, which is interesting to find out that at some point Wolverine had interactions with Quicksilver, but that very well could have been during the whole future fiasco,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So they go and they find little kid Quicksilver, and we talked about how stupid...
He looked so dumb.
Oh, man, we joked a lot about this before this movie came out, how Quicksilver looked terrible and looked stupid.
Yep.
And I stand by that. I think he looks dumb in this movie. But this kid kind of stole the show.
Everything else was awesome about
it. Man.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Because the whole scene where they're, like, convincing him... to help them with this break-in. He's like, he's just popping all over his basement.
They come downstairs and he's playing ping pong with himself while playing pinball, while doing, like, playing video games.
He's got a pong
else.
Machine and the pong thing is just moving so fast on the screen. It's amazing. The whole scene is hilarious and essentially they convince him to do it because he gets to break into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And he was just like, okay,
I'll give it a whirl.
I want to do it. Yeah. So they get to the Pentagon and they just kind of do one of those scenes where they kind of sneak in with like a tour group and then Quicksilver and Wolverine break off to go save Magneto. When they because Quicksilver got him out, they did a lot of stuff with
he went in and he knocked out a guard,
stole a guard's uniform. He taped that one guard to the side of the elevator with duct tape, which is hilarious.
Put the stuff over his mouth and everything.
Yeah.
And that's when he comes out. It was like a food delivery.
Yeah.
And they've got him in this like domed area with this like all this glass on top. So he's basically like standing on the ceiling and that's where he drops the food down.
Yeah.
And he drops the food down and there's a note that's like, watch the glass or something like that, you know?
That's right.
And he just sticks his hands down and starts reverberating them so fast that that all the glass just shatters, you know? And that's how they kind of get him out of there. And then they go and, I don't remember, Wolverine got involved somewhere right around
there. Well, because this is the awesome scene. When they get him out, they run into that that area yeah. where all those guards catch up to
well,
them.
Because, yeah, somewhere Wolverine and Professor X meet up with them, too, so they're yep. all together, like, in that elevator, I think, or yep. something, and they get off that elevator, and Charles and Eric are already changing barbs, basically,
yeah.
like, oh, I never thought I'd see you again, and I think Charles punches him.
Yeah, he know? Did. Yeah. Charles punched yeah. him. Yep.
Yeah, like hits him pretty hard and everything like that, and, you know, yells at him for crippling him, and all the stuff they did. And they yeah. kind of get into it, but then all of a sudden the doors open and there are all these guards there. And they've all got plastic guns.
Yes.
With plastic bullets. And,
yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. But they can't have any metal around him, they know, you know, so they get it down. And there's that moment where all they're kind of just standing there like waiting. It's kind of this standoff, and they don't really know what to do because the powers... Charles doesn't really have his.
Yeah, yeah, because Magneto yeah. even says, stop them, Charles. And Charles is like, I can't.
Yeah.
you don't
yeah,
understand. Yeah. I can't yeah. do that
like,
right
Magneto's
now.
Like, Magneto's useless, and Wolverine has all his healing abilities, but that won't help much when yeah. his friends are all bullet-riddled. So,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, it just cuts into, we kind of see Quicksilver's world from his point of view.
Yeah.
Because it just, like, the world just sort of stops, and he just starts moving.
He
and
puts on headphones first.
Yeah.
He puts on these headphones and, like, starts blaring music.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got his goggles on, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And this music starts playing, and I wish I could remember what song it was, because it was awesome for the scene. It was an old 70s song, though, you
yeah.
know. And he just starts moving, and basically he just starts running around this room. And again, you're seeing the world from his perspective, so he's moving in, like, real time. And nothing else is moving at all
yeah.
because he's so fast, you know? And so he just runs around, and he just runs around the room disarming guys.
It's, yeah,
he
he's
picks
like,
a couple of guys up, like, in a throwing motion and just kind of stops, and they just kind of hover there. He moves a couple of the guards' arms around to where they're punching,
they're punching
each
other
and stuff like
yeah.
that, you know? And he just kind of sets everybody into place.
He also moves the bullets.
Yeah, yeah, and he moves the bullets where they're still tracked because they've all fired at these guys.
Yeah.
And that's when he starts going. So all the bullets are in the air. And he goes back, and they're all coming right at the faces of, like, Charles and Eric.
Yeah.
And he just moves them to where they go, like, beside their heads.
Yeah.
So they're still flying. He just moves them from one area to another, like, yeah. in the air, and then boom. And then when he takes his place standing next to these guys again, and then the movie goes back into, like, our speed. You know, and so all these bullets go flying past, and like everybody's like kind of shudders.
Everybody jumps,
yeah,
yeah.
And there's like all these bullet holes in the wall, and these guards just all knock themselves out and fly into the air out of nowhere, and the whole room just goes crazy, you know, and sort of explodes. And they're all just standing there, and he's standing there like he never moved.
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
he was so fast, he's just chilling there, and everybody's like, huh? Oh. Okay.
yeah.
I guess we'll go now.
That was one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yeah, it was so cool.
It was amazing.
Yeah, so kudos to their Quicksilver
fun.
And
yeah.
everything, but look.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that kid playing him was cool, too.
Was good.
Yeah, I like
see, now, yep. and now we, because we talked about how we were probably going to love the Avengers version of Quicksilver a lot more than this.
Yeah.
I think now the Avengers version of Quicksilver has some living up
exactly.
to do.
Exactly, exactly.
because this was a good Quicksilver.
And disappointingly, this was Quicksilver's only real scene.
Yeah, it was.
Which was funny, too. Because if you had told me ahead of time, I was only going to be on for like 10 minutes, I'd be like, all right, that's probably good because it didn't look very good. And then as soon as I saw that scene and then they just kind of leave him right after that, they're like, hey, thanks for the help. And they go off on their mission. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All they needed him for was breaking out Magneto.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there was that fun little kind of throwaway line after he saved Magneto where he says, so you control metal, huh? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, huh. My mom knew a guy that could do that.
Yeah.
So they had that throwaway line, though, you know.
Because he's supposed to be Magneto's
Magneto
kid.
Is supposed to be. Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty cool. And they actually come back to it later, too, almost essentially confirming it. I guess we'll talk about that when we get to that point in the movie.
Because I remember that happening. I don't remember the specifics.
Yeah. So now Magneto and Xavier and Beast and Wolverine are on a jet, and they're on their way to essentially, like, they've explained the scenario to Magneto. And, Magneto is Magneto, so he's a little more angry about it, he's a little more intense about this whole thing, he wants to kill Mystique. He's like, we gotta just kill her. And Charles is like, no, we can't kill her, we can do everything, let's just not kill her. And Magneto's just like, no, we're just gonna kill her, that'll fix everything, let's just kill Mystique. So he's being real intense about it, and him and Charles aren't getting along. Another really fun scene on this part, too, like Wolverine pops his bone claws on the plane, and Magneto says, shame those aren't metal.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Yeah. I thought that was a great scene.
Yeah, Fassbender is awesome.
Yeah, man, what a great Magneto
and McAvoy
he is.
McAvoy is, too, like both those guys, but man, Fassbender is just amazing
Dude,
in that role.
I just feel like he is Magneto now.
Yeah.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
But So from here, where did we go from here? Like, we saw lots of scenes. They flash back with Mystique a lot because you kind of see her like on her mission to like
because they did that one. It was the same one from the end credits of Spider-Man that they do somewhere right around there, I think, where they show her at this army base basically, and there's all these mutants that have basically been quote unquote recruited, drafted, whatever you want to call it. They've been forced into military service, and they're about to go home. I think it's, is this right after Vietnam?
This
or
is, yes.
During or something like that?
Yes, Vietnam.
I think they were
right
in,
after
they were in Vietnam, and now they're supposed to be going home, and basically Stryker shows
Stryker
up. Young Stryker
in.
Shows
yep.
up and is like, all right, well, we're not exactly, because they said they weren't military.
Yeah.
They were like a mercenary group of some sort, but they were official, and they had permission to come in and take these guys for themselves rather than sending them home like they were supposed to go, and Mystique kind of infiltrated that unit and was and knocked out Stryker and all his guys. They get into this big little fight there in the tent, and she kind of saves the day, and she takes the mutants and puts them all on their actual plane home instead of when Stryker was about to take them back for testing. So that's kind of one of her missions. They show
and
her
that was
on
cool, and that was our introduction to Stryker too, which was cool.
The young
so
Stryker.
You're like, oh,
and Havoc was in there.
Oh,
he
that's right.
Yeah, he was one of the guys, because he was the one when she was walking him out, and they were on their way to escape, and Havoc's like, well, where's Eric? And she's like, I'm on my own now.
Yeah. And then, because we also had the scene where she kind of, we started learning a little bit more about Trask. We see that Trask is trying to convince the president to do the Sentinel program. He's trying to convince all these places. I think he even goes, like, we have a scene where he actually goes to Vietnam, right? And is going to sell them the technology for the Sentinels.
Yeah.
Because that's another scene where Mystique kind of infiltrates, and she's like disguised.
Well, is that the one where she was going to assassinate him and they stopped the first one?
That might have been it.
I think.
Yes.
Because they end up stopping the first assassination attempt, and then they end up finding out that there's like another one.
Oh, yeah.
Later that they've got to stop also. Because they stop her, but they don't catch her. And so she gets away and is just going to do it again later.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, instead.
Right.
To the same or worse results.
Right.
Was there a way that the results got worse somehow?
I don't even know.
Yeah. I want to say that there was. But I'm not sure how they can get worse than that future we saw.
Right.
But we can kind of skip ahead to that. Where's the, what is the next? Because there was that big scene with Mystique. That first time when they do stop her, which is that big, it's sort of a big kind of action piece.
Yeah.
And
well, she gets shot, too, in that whole thing, remember?
Yeah, she does, because they get some of her blood.
Yep, because they end up finding some of her blood.
Yeah.
And that's
so they've already got some of her DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is bad. That's when they know it's bad, because,
well,
I think, because that's the scene where Magneto just went on his own and was just, he was going to kill Mystique here, remember? He was just going to take care of her.
Oh, that's right. Because
she got shot. And then he was able to start controlling her because she had the bullet in her leg. And so he starts, you know, pulling her towards him, and he was going to just end her in this whole scene. But she does end up escaping, but that's where, because this turned out, Beast saved her. Beast came in and ended up stopping Magneto. Because this is where Magneto basically starts going rogue from the group. He's like, I'm going to do this my way.
Which didn't take long.
No, it didn't take long at all, which was which was cool. I mean, we get to see him. He gets the helmet back, and he just, he turns into full-on Magneto.
That was a cool
Magneto.
Scene, too, when he goes
Good
in
stuff.
And steals that back.
Yeah. So Mystique leaves some of her blood behind, and that's when Trask kind of realizes the powers that she has, which is bad, because now he is after her. Now he's like, he knows that they need to have Mystique.
Yeah.
So essentially, they just made things worse
by
Magneto trying to kill Mystique here. Yeah. Like, he made things worse. Because then there's that scene, too, where Mystique is trying to escape. Like, she's getting on that airplane, because she's going to go, I think, to... Aren't they doing, like,
DC,
to DC, because they're going to go ahead and do, like, the big demonstration with
the Sentinels and everything.
Right,
that's right.
Like, the Sentinels are going to happen now.
Like,
it's a for
sure
thing.
They've got some, they've built some,
because
and they're going to show them.
Because of this chaos that happened with Mystique getting shot, they've built the Sentinels, are going to show them off. And so she's trying to get through the airport, and there's this, you have one of those classic Xavier scenes where he's in her mind
projecting
his own image into other people's bodies and talking to her and trying to convince her not to do it, but it's unsuccessful. She's like, I'm going to do this. Then we also cut to this scene where we see Magneto being full on Magneto, and there's this train that's delivering the Sentinels. And this is where things get a little funny, kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
he gets into the train where the Sentinels are, and he starts using his powers to pull up all the train rails behind the train.
Yeah.
And he injects the metal from those rails inside of the Sentinels. Because the Sentinels, the big important thing about the Sentinels, there's no metal on them. Mm-hmm. Specifically so because that Magneto can't control them.
Yeah.
They're made of like some kind of space age material is what they basically explained it
some
as.
Some sort of super plastic
or whatever. But he injects every Sentinel with the metal from these rails of the train tracks and then just leaves. He lets them be delivered.
Yep.
So we get to the scene in Washington, D.C. We're kind of skipping ahead here now.
How many people did he kill on the trains
coming
after?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Magneto is just...
I was just saying, like, all the trains that would have been on that path later on are like, nope.
No rails. Yep, no rails. So now we're at the big scene in Washington, D.C., and this is where things are like, this is it right here. Like, it's got to be stopped here or things are going to be bad.
Yep.
And we get to the scene where, like, the president is introducing the new Sentinel program, and they've got all these big, mighty Sentinels standing
there.
Full-on
Nixon, too.
Nixon. Yeah. It's Nixon doing it, which is really cool. And they introduce the Sentinels and the humans, the crowd's all happy, and then all of a sudden the Sentinels start, like, taking off into the sky, and Trask kind of leans over concerned. He's like, what are you doing? Like, these weren't supposed to fly today. They were just supposed to stand here.
Yeah.
They were just be for presentation. We don't have these activated yet. But the crowd's still happy, and they're cheering and everything, and the Sentinels are flying, and all of a sudden the Sentinels turn their guns on the humans
and open fire. Yep.
And
this whole time, like, Xavier and Hank and Wolverine have all showed up, and they're looking for Mystique because they know she's in there going to try to kill Trask again.
Yep.
So they're just kind of, like, mind-hunting for her.
Yep.
And they pinpoint her at one point. Was she disguised as anybody important?
No, she was just disguised.
Okay, just one of the army people or something like that.
Yeah, I think she was just disguised.
And they catch her, like, right before she's about to go up. And I think Charles does stop her at that point, doesn't he?
I think so.
Like, at least pauses her for a little while. And that's when all the mayhem completely
breaks. Well, all the mayhem is going on. And I remember because the president and Trask and everybody runs and hides in the secret, like
little bunker.
Bunker
thing,
inside the Oval Office.
Yeah.
And, while all this is going on, like, we find out, obviously, that Magneto's controlling the Sentinels. Because they got all the metal inside of them, so he's the one that's got them flying around.
Well, you remember what he was doing
at
the time, too. He stole a baseball stadium.
He stole a baseball stadium. Yeah. This was an amazing scene.
Yeah. Because
he lifts this baseball stadium up and flies over, and he drops the stadium around everybody. So he's essentially created an arena.
Exactly.
Where nobody can escape. Yep. They're all inside this
he's
arena.
He's blocked everybody out and blocked everybody in.
Yep. So now it's just the Sentinels and him with all these people trapped inside this arena. And it's just, he's got full control over all this terrible stuff that's happening.
Yep.
It's amazing. It's such a cool Magneto moment.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But at some point then we realize that one of the people that's inside the bunker with the president is actually Mystique.
Okay.
And there's that whole scene where they're like, it's Mystique, wow, you know, whatever, you gotta stop her. But then they kind of cut away from that, I think. Because then we're back outside and Magneto is like, he's threatening to essentially, like, destroy everybody with the Sentinels, right? And that's when the president comes walking out. And he's like, no.
Yeah. Well, because he yanked that chamber out of the
That's right.
Oval
yeah,
office
he ranked,
and, like,
yeah.
landed it there
that's
in
right.
front of him.
That's
yeah.
right. So the president comes out. Nixon comes out. And he's like, no. You want me.
Yeah.
You just take me. Let all these people go. Just take me or whatever. And then at that point, this is where we, like, because the president was actually Mystique, right?
Yeah.
Because it morphs into Mystique at some point. I'm trying to remember, how did she stop him, though?
She shot him.
She shot,
because she shot him in the neck.
That's right.
Yeah, because I think she even had one of those plastic guns.
It was the plastic gun.
Yeah.
And got Magneto with it. So Mystique, Charles must have talked some sense into her.
Yeah.
And,
well, the whole thing, because, I mean, she was after a very specific person for very specific reason. Like, she's after people hunting mutants.
Yep.
You know, she's not just killing humans just to kill humans.
Right.
And so when Magneto's, like, you know, going way overboard, essentially, you know, she's like, no, this is not what we're trying to do here, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of her thought process. Like, you're making the whole thing way worse because you're making us hunted.
Right.
You know, so I will stop you first.
Yep.
You know, so takes him out.
So, done deal, takes him out. Magneto's, did they capture him again at this point?
Yeah.
I think they captured him again, and essentially...
Because the helmet got knocked off.
Yep, the day is saved. That's right, and Xavier got him.
Yeah.
So, they did it. They saved the day. Trask didn't get murdered at this point. He ended up getting away. And I think this was because there were moments too.
But I think they should be, you know, after what happened with the Sentinels firing on all those people, I think they shut down the Sentinel program.
Yes.
After all of that, too.
Yes.
So the day is, like, fully saved.
Day is fully saved. You know, one of the other things we forgot to really kind of mention, too, there was that scene because we talked about how they jump back and forth between the future and the past a few times.
Oh yeah, we left.
Well, there was moments where they almost lost Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because when he saw Stryker for the first time, he, like, had a meltdown.
Yep.
Because he, like, that goes back to the whole Weapon X days. He knows that there's stuff going on with him. And it's just, he just, something weird started happening between that projection of himself from the past. And he, like, lost control. Mm-hmm. And that was crazy because they started jumping around to, like Shadowcat almost losing him and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, plus, while all this is going on, because at one point during this fight, Magneto, like, he comes after Magneto, and Magneto basically just, like, fills him full of, like, steel, like, rods.
Yeah.
Essentially, and hurls him out of the baseball stadium and into the river.
Yes.
And he just sinks because he's got all that metal stuck in him, you know?
Yep.
And they keep flashing to the future, too, and that whole big battle's going on in the future.
The Sentinel showed up in the future.
Because the future where they're holding Wolverine down and doing the sending him back in time stuff, that's a continuous process for Kitty. And the Sentinels show up at that bunker, so we get another one of those fight scenes just like the early one, but this one has the same group from the early one, plus Storm, plus
Like Storm Magneto gets murdered, and like Magneto dies, and like they kill all these characters, and then Kitty gets wounded really bad and almost loses Wolverine because of that. Like, she has to fight through it. So it gets really intense here at the end, because you're jumping back and forth. And, like, things are terrible in the future, and things are terrible in the past, and you're just like, is this going to actually work? Like, it gets pretty nuts. And also, that's the other thing. When they were, the news cameras were, Magneto focused all the news cameras on himself when he was doing that big speech. They showed that scene with Quicksilver holding his young sister, Scarlet Witch, watching the TV while his mom was in the background watching it, kind of with her, like, kind of giving us that whole notion that really was Magneto's kids. Magneto's kids, so that was kind of cool. But that, so they ended up doing it. They saved the day. You know, we go, it was cool because the whole future changes then. We start seeing the people disappear again in the future once we realize that they has been saved. And then it jumps to a scene where Wolverine wakes up back in the future in his bed.
Yeah.
And he doesn't quite know what's going
on.
He's
not sure where he is or what's going
He walks out of the room, opens the door, and
realizes he's in the mansion.
He's in the mansion, and the school is running, and it's just like old times. We get many cool moments here.
He looks down the hall, and
Bobby and Rogue are walking arm in arm down the hall. You know, we get Beast, Beast walks by.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer walks by.
And says something about Wolverine looked like he had a rough night or something.
No joke, getting chills right now just talking about that.
It was so good. Yeah. This whole scene was just worth it. I mean, it was amazing.
Well, and then the moment, you know, because he looks over and you see that red streak of hair, you know, and you're like, oh.
When he goes, he's like, Jean?
Yeah.
And he walks over there, and sure enough, Jean Grey.
Yeah, she's like, "You're here," and she's like, "Where else would I be?"
Where else would I be?
Yeah, and then the coup de grace, the thing that fixes everything in the X-Men universe.
Yep.
He goes to like hold her arm or touch her or something like that, and the door swings open a little farther, and Cyclops grabs his arm, you know, and is like, "Whoa there, buddy."
What's going on? Yep.
You know,
Cyclops is here.
He's like, "Scott. You know, you're alive." Like,
Everything's
okay.
Everything's okay. And then he walks in. I love it, too, because he walks into Professor X, who's sitting there, and Professor X just goes, "Aren't you late for teaching a class?" And he's like, "A class?" He's like, "Yeah, you're supposed to be teaching history right now." And then all of a sudden, Professor X, like, stops and looks up and goes, "Welcome back. We have a lot to discuss." Like, Professor X instantly realized by reading Wolverine's mind that he just came back from this crazy journey.
Yeah,
so that was just an amazing way to end the film.
Yep.
It's like, in that single scene, first of all, they erased X-Men 3.
Thank God
X-Men 3 doesn't exist. Probably a lot of the things in the other X-Men movies are altered now, but...
Yeah, like, everything's different, and I don't know what's the same and what's not, but it doesn't really matter.
Some of the stuff is obviously still the same, because we got Rogue and Bobby there, and, you know, a lot of the things still would have played out the same.
A lot of the things work out just fine.
But the terrible stuff is gone.
Yeah.
And now we're in this really great, like, clean slate for the X-Men films, and everything's just it was just such a fantastic way to end this movie.
Oh, it was super
good. Amazing.
It was
amazing,
so exciting. And that was the thought, you know, like, I had already resigned myself to the fact that Cyclops was gone.
Yeah.
But that was always kind of the back of my mind, like, hope upon hope. If they could just throw him in there, man, wouldn't that make everything okay?
How excited. Man, we were so excited, dude.
Like, I was jumping out of my chair.
Oh, that was so great. So, great ending to the movie, and this is really cool, because this is, like, just setting up, we're we got more X-Men movies on the way. And we already know that Age of Apocalypse has been announced as the next film. So at the end of the credits, we do get a fun little scene, which is way in the past during ancient Egyptian times. We see this scene with all these men, like Egyptians, chanting, and there's a pyramid that's just building itself. And they kind of pan around, and we see this figure in a cloak with blue skin. Who is using whatever powers he has to build this.
And they're chanting, it's Insaminur or something like that. It's his, like, given name.
So that's this amazing thing, and we see this pyramid build, and as they pan around to show us this blue kid, young, because he's young here. This would, it makes sense, too. It's an ancient Egyptian times. This young blue mutant building these pyramids, and off in the distance we see four riders on horses. So this was their big teaser for Apocalypse and the Four Horsemen. Which was awesome. And there have been, I saw an interview too where they said, you know, that's not how he's going to look in the new movie. This was nothing more than the little teaser showing him back in ancient Egyptian times. The apocalypse that we're going to see in the movie is going to be full on apocalypse
because
we know of.
Because present day apocalypse, because the way, and this is the brief understanding I have from the little bit of research I've done since seeing this scene, like, Apocalypse was the first mutant. I'm not even exactly sure what his abilities were, other than clearly immortality. But I guess there's also some alien race around Egypt at the time. So he's this weird, like mutant. Like, he's a mutant, but he's taken all this alien technology and kind of infused that with himself, too. So he's this weird hybrid thing. And that's where he gets a lot of his extra powers and the way he looks and stuff like that, too. So by the time we actually see him in present day, or actually, I've heard a lot of it takes place during the 80s. I think. So it's mostly First Class.
It's going to be the First Class.
But I've also heard there might be some returning guys from the... So who knows?
It's going to be interesting.
Who knows? Who cares? Yeah. It'll be fun. Especially if Singer still does it. So we'll cross our fingers and hope.
That's neat, man. It's cool seeing another big villain like that. I mean, think about that. We're getting Thanos in the Avengers universe and Apocalypse in the X-Men universe. Those are like two monster villains.
Like, well, that's crazy. Super cool, too, is, you know, Singer steps away from this franchise for nearly a decade. And comes back and is like, man, you guys are in a mess.
It just fixed
Yeah, I'll just take two of the biggest comic stories ever and we'll just do those. And it'll be fine.
So there were definitely some silly, I mean, like we talked about, there's some flaws. There's some plot holes for sure.
There are things that they fix. There are things that aren't fixable. There are things I've forgotten about that even Bryan Singer is like, hey, remember when I did that? That was all me and sorry, you know.
Well,
there
like,
was something he said about, I guess there's a line in the first X-Men, I don't remember at all, where he mentions like when he was 17 years old, he met a man named Eric or whatever. And when they actually meet in First Class, he's actually like in his 20s or whatever,
So
he's like, I kind of just wish I had never done that. But tell you what, guys. Ignore it and we'll all be happy. You know? So like, cool, whatever.
Well, either way, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah,
I felt like it was
good.
It was super enjoyable. There were some great, exciting moments. Really feels like this movie kind of threw the X-Men franchise back on track. And if we didn't already know that there was another one coming, I would say that this would be like the perfect like final hurrah for the X-Men franchise.
I'd be fine with it. And that's the thing. They can do whatever they want now. They could have ended it and just completely rebooted at some other point and it would have been fine and this would have been an awesome little cap. Or they can keep going and start from scratch, essentially, in their own world because they've changed everything anyway. So if it's just First Class 3, I'm cool with that. If they mix in a bunch of the other stuff, cool, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, whatever. I am too. I really am. I just, like, you know, that end scene was just such a reward for those of us who have stuck with these X-Men movies since they started.
Exactly.
I mean, it was like, it was just the perfect, like, apology. And
that
reward
I really felt,
at the same time.
I really
you know?
Felt that was just Bryan Singer coming in and going, hey, like, I know I turned my back and they ruined it, but I'm sorry I let it go, and here's my apology. You know?
I'm sorry about Brett Ratner, guys. here's Cyclops. So good stuff. If you haven't seen the movie yet, I would definitely recommend
Go check it
out. If you've enjoyed any of the other X-Men flicks, I really think you're going to like this one a lot.
Don't look for perfection and don't look for all of the plot holes to be filled, but just go and look to have a good time. It's
exactly.
a solid, solid movie, and it fixes a lot more than any movie ever should have been able to.
And
with as broken as that franchise was, I never thought they could get back even to this point, and they are.
And I'm still need to see it again, but I think this might be my favorite of the X-Men movies.
Yeah, I want to see it again, and I want to let it sink in.
I watched X2 not too long afterwards, which was my favorite X-Men movie, and I think I like this one better than X2. So I think it's right up there. So definitely check it out, guys. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good stopping point. We spent an hour talking about X-Men. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Not bad, not
That's
bad.
Pretty good. But we got some more reviews coming up, guys. We're going to definitely talk about Amazing Spider-Man 2 and The Winter Soldier. We'll tell you right up front, we loved both of them, actually.
Yeah.
Especially Winter Soldier. I love Winter Soldier.
Man.
It's so good.
I'm just second best ever.
I'm just happy we got three Marvel movies in the theaters in a row that all turned out to be really good.
Yeah, which
and
is cool.
Especially since we were nervous about Spider-Man and X-Men.
And how cool is it that, like, seriously, you could take a Saturday and go watch Captain America, Amazing Spider-Man, and an X-Men movie all the same day.
Right?
If you want to now, you know?
Yeah. And
that's phenomenal.
As much as I'm still going to always say that I want Marvel Studios to get all these characters back, mm-hmm. I think it's pretty obvious that Marvel Studios has caused Fox and Sony to step their game up.
At least to try to. I'm still not convinced that they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
but Amazing Spider-Man 2 and X-Men Days of Future Past were both very solid superhero movies.
Yeah. I have no faith in Fantastic Four whatsoever.
I don't. Yeah. No,
not
yeah,
even a little bit.
Nope.
Yeah.
Me either. All right,
but
guys.
I like these other two franchises.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Absolutely, guys. Make sure, if you haven't seen any of our or listened to any of our past episodes, to check us out over at pixel-dan.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can find us on Stitcher for those using Android devices. You can follow me on Twitter at pixeldan. You can follow Jonathan at jleonard31. So if you want to chat with us about any of this, or tell us you disagree or that you agree, whatever, you can do all that right there on Twitter. And we will catch you right back here next time for another installment of The Geek Easy.
See you guys.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of The Geek Easy Podcast.